I've grown accustomed to her face.
You want me to take the roll call?
She okay. Almost makes the day begin.
Commissioner Goodman.
I've grown accustomed to the tune.
And Commissioner Peckman. And... I don't see that we have a public forum, so we can move on to our agenda. First item on the agenda is approval of the Library Advisory Commission meeting minutes from August 5th of 2019. Do we have any items that we'd like to correct or amend? Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
A second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Abstentions, oppositions. Passes unanimously. We'll now move on to, we'll now move on to the presentation, B1, Goleta Valley Library Director's Report. Director Gray.
Thank you. So I'm going to give you a report for July and August. So this first slide is the statistics for July. We circulated 54,261 items, which was an increase of almost 4% over last July. We had 23,313 visitors, 6,340 borrowed items from other libraries, and if that seems high, that's because it includes Buellton and Solvang. And then we loaned 4,959 items to patrons from other libraries. 6 outreach events were conducted with a total of 306 contacts, and 29 programs were conducted at the library with a total attendance of 1,674. July is our big summer reading club month, so that's the reason for the high numbers.
Can I interrupt you just for a moment? So you indicated that there was a 3% increase over last August. What about programs? Was there also an increase in programs conducted at the library and attendance?
I did not collect that information, but I can bring it back to you at the next meeting.
Thank you.
Okay. In August, we circulated 52,385 items, which was an increase of just 0.3% over August. We had 21,484 visitors. Our three libraries borrowed 6,022 items from other libraries, but we loaned 4,377 to those other libraries as well. We had 5 outreach events with a total of 359 contacts, and then 31 programs were conducted at the library with an attendance of 2,894.
What was the nature of those programs that you had that spike in attendance?
That includes the end of the summer reading club, the big celebration event, which always draws a large number of people, and then just continuing with our story times and all of our regular programming.
And just to confirm, you mentioned before that the statistics were a combination now of the three campuses, which ones of these are for the system and which are for just the Goleta Library?
Okay, so we'll be reporting to you just Goleta Library statistics. However, in the, let me just go back a slide. In the borrowed items from other libraries and loaned items to other libraries, we did include the two branches. I can keep that separate. In the future, I think that would probably be less confusing.
Yeah, I think it's good to have clarification there.
Okay.
Any other questions? So the 5 outreach events, would you explain a little bit about what those entailed, please, and where they were held?
Let's see. We went to the Isla Vista Youth Project's food distribution event, and both months. We visited some schools. We did outreach at some preschool centers where the children's librarian did story time and talked about the library. And I think we had one invitation to a school in August as well that we attended.
Thank you.
the Summer Reading Club, we had 1,506 children and teens participate this year. That was about the same as last year. We don't have many teen participants, but the ones that do participate are very enthusiastic. And this photo is a picture of our stuffed animal sleepover event, which is very popular every year, where people bring their stuffed animals to stay overnight at the library. And of course, they got to hear a great story time and do other things. We added about 50 more items to the Library of Things collection, including preloaded tablets that have games for different ages, all the way from preschool through adult. Virtual reality goggles, which are our highest hold item. A synthesizer keyboard, which is huge, it's very popular. Mm-hmm. We added some more robots and a lot of other things, cake pans, jigsaw puzzles, all kinds of things. So we're keeping an eye on what's circulating the most and then ordering duplicates and triplicates of those items. Our highest circulating Library of Things item is still the Moxie Library Pass. And so this year we purchased 3 passes instead of the 2 passes that we had last year. We were very happy to receive a grant from the California Center for the Book. It's a Book to Action grant. And we had one last year where we read The Ocean Country. This time we're going to read Strays, A Lost Cat, A Homeless Man, and Their Journey Across America by Britt Collins. And we're partnering with all 3 local shelters and the Channel City Kennel Club. Our grant will culminate in a large pet adoption event at the library. So hopefully there's no acts of God that can interfere with that like there were this year with the oil spill at the beach. Buellton and Solving Libraries will also participate, which is great. And we'll have a book discussion at each branch of this book. And we'll receive about, I think, 120 copies with the grant to give away to anyone that wants a copy.
Commissioner Moore.
Will you remind me how these books are chosen?
There's a pre-selected list that the California Center for the Book has, mm-hmm. and so they do it by topic, so homelessness, ecology, things like that. And so this year we wanted to pick a real feel-good book, and so that's why we picked this one.
Thank you.
Commissioner Peck, did you have a question?
No.
Okay.
So here are some of the outreach events that we also did. I mentioned the Isla Vista Youth Project's food distribution. We went to United Way's Fun in the Sun at Johnny D. Wallace Park. They have a food bank. They provide lunch to whoever's at the park on certain days. So we did craft programs. And then we had a Harwood conversation in July with the Goodland Coalition. We installed the pop-up library devices at Isla Vista Community Center, at the Teen Center at St. George's, and the Goleta Valley Community Center. We're finalizing arrangements with UCSB to put one in the USIN, and then also Goleta College, Cottage Valley Hospital to put one in the emergency room area.
Question? Yes. Go ahead, Commissioner.
To verify, the Isla Vista Community Center, is that the Community Resources Building or the...
Yes, it's the current one where they do the Zumba classes.
Okay.
And we'll move it to the newly opened Community Center when it's established.
Commissioner Goodman.
Was the device damaged with the water leakage there, or has it been moved with, because the community room is closed and will be for some time?
They haven't communicated that to us, so this is news to me, so I will check that out. I know that the device was in a closet.
In fact, it was in the...
Probably in the damaged closet.
I remember seeing it now, where it was, yeah.
Okay, we have not heard about this, so I will look into that. Thank you.
Okay, good.
So that brings up a question. Go ahead. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, I had a follow-up question. Is there a way to monitor how much each one of these pop-up library devices are being accessed? And if you see an abrupt drop in people accessing it, maybe then that means that you should take a look.
Yes. We're working with Baker and Taylor, who provides the devices, to get the statistics for use at each site.
So there's got to be some software where you can just check and monitor, I would imagine, right?
Yes. Okay.
And then is there any physical oversight to these devices on a regular basis?
There's no intervention that we need to do. They just need to be plugged in at the site. So.
Right, but it might be good to have visual inspection just to see if people are treating them properly.
Yes, that seems like a good idea now.
Yes, Commissioner Freeman.
Well, as far as treating them properly, maybe the site administrators, but am I remembering correctly that it's just like provides a wireless access point, and that's why it's okay to be stored in a storage closet?
Yes, that's correct. It's so about the size of the deck of
cards. Yeah, but it's always good to have oversight, I think.
We added a section on the website for university students. We found a site that supports textbook needs, and so we wanted to get that up there, and then we're adding additional things on financial aid and such.
I just want to make sure I'm on.
Oh, okay.
Keep it on. We love to hear your voice.
The city of Goleta replaced the mechanisms for the automatic front doors, which are very heavily used and frequently need repair. So we're hoping that the replacement of the mechanisms will resolve that situation. A lot of people do use them. And with the branches, we train staff at both branches in Goleta practices, policies, and procedures. We hired and trained a new branch supervisor for the Buellton branch, and we discussed the formation of a joint Buellton-Solvang Library Advisory Commission, which is still in the works due to some upheaval at those cities in terms of staffing.
Commissioner Freeman.
With whom were those discussions at the level currently?
We talked to the city managers, and then also to the Friends organizations. And so it's really the city managers that need to establish this commission. However, Solvang has had some change in their city managers and currently have an interim with whom I have not yet spoken. She just started, and I didn't want to throw this at her early on. So when I get back from vacation, I'll be communicating with her.
So have you been tracking the hours related to this outreach work and getting people trained and up to speed? And
yes, we have. Our finance department provided us with the mechanism for keeping track on our timesheets for any time that we do spend related to the branches. And that involves quite a number of people at the Goleta Library. The branch supervisor selects materials for them, as does the children's librarian. And then we have staff that are processing the new items that come through. And then time related to tracking the timesheets, things like that.
Okay.
So we are keeping close track of it, and at the end of the year, we will see whether the amount that we charged them at the beginning of the year was sufficient. If it's not, they know that they will be getting bills for the additional amount. If we overestimated the amount of hours that we were going to be dedicating to those branches, then they'll get a refund.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, and that's the end of my director's report.
Are there any other questions before we go on to agenda item C?
Is this up on
the... No? Okay, yeah, Jay.
Do the percentage of books that are checked out that lead to late fees, does that change over the course of the year in a dramatic amount, or is it relatively constant percentage of the checkouts that are during the course of the year?
It's pretty constant, and because of the change that Black Gold made 2 years ago, where they automatically renew a person's items up to five times, it's greatly reduced the amount that we collect in fines. I think for this fiscal year, we collected something along the lines of $27,000. So it's not a big money maker for the library in any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, the policies on those, so for example, the amounts of the fine, is that something that is set by Black Gold, or is that something that we have local discretion over?
The number of renewals is set by Black Gold, and that's system-wide. However, the amount of the fines, we have control over that.
So as an example, if we wanted to, for instance, do away with fines, that's something that we would or would not be able to do locally?
We would be able to do that locally, and there has been some movement to look at doing that.
Commissioner Murr?
To follow up on that, I believe that I've read that people that contribute to Black Gold have already made that change. Is that true?
Yes, the Santa Barbara Library System is fine-free. The Blanchard Library just went fine-free. San Luis Obispo is fine-free, and I believe also Paso Robles. So the majority of libraries in Black Gold are going fine-free, and it is sort of a tipping point in the country. Many library systems are moving to the fine-free model because the statistics show that it doesn't really work as a deterrent against, it's really the lost materials that we want back. So.
Is that something that this board could look at in a future agenda item?
Yes, I will be bringing that to this board.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it will be this year or early next year, but we definitely have plans to bring it to this board.
Calendar year, you're speaking of, not
yeah,
fiscal year.
Calendar year.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. Any other questions or comments before we move on to the budget?
Okay, last time you had two questions. One was in the first section under other revenue. This is a fiscal year budget, by the way, for last year. So the reason that is so high, the $643,000, that represents a check that we received from Santa Barbara Library System of our unrestricted fund balance. So we received they were holding those funds during the whole management of our library, and now that we're independent, they had to send us a check for that amount. So that explains the huge discrepancy there under other revenue. And then you also asked about under capital expenditures, the CIP services, where $278,643 were budgeted and only $135 spent. I found out that that's something of an error. It is the code for miscellaneous facility improvements and includes all of the facilities that City of Goleta owns. So this doesn't represent library cost. The finance department figured out that we spent about $15,000 in terms of this miscellaneous facility improvements. And that was partly on things like the door mechanism replacements, and then just air conditioning issues that we had, things like that. So that really, they're not sure why it continues to show up on our report, but that is not a number that needs to concern us. Are there any other questions on the budget?
Commissioner Peck.
What's the context for the drop in expenditure for books and subscriptions?
When we first took over management of the library, we had to contract with we purchased from two vendors. Baker & Taylor does all of our book print materials, and Midwest Tapes does all of our AV materials. So we had to contract with those two agencies in order to make purchases. And the city was dealing with an awful lot of contracts concerning the library when we first came on board July 1st. So it took some time for us to get the contracts signed. So we were not purchasing books in the last fiscal year until about mid-September. So that explains why we didn't expend the full book budget. this year, I'm already nervous that we're not going to have any problem spending the book budget. We're a little bit overspent at this point.
And so, what will that budget be then?
That budget is smaller this year. It is, at the current moment, it's about $139,000, but we're carrying over some of the DIF unspent funds from the last fiscal year, so it will be higher. I think we're carrying over about $40,000 and adding it to this year's budget. So next month you'll see what the current totals are for fiscal year 1920.
Commissioner Moore.
And when we see that budget, I don't know if you're already planning it, but it would be great to see these two columns, the current budget and then the actuals, and then another column with the budget for 2020, so that we can really see the comparisons in all of these.
So you want the we're working on the fiscal year 1920 now,
right?
So you're saying you want the fiscal year 1819 shown as well?
Mm-hmm. So that we can see the increases and decreases in the budget, as well as what the actuals were.
I'll ask the finance department if they're capable of doing that. I think we could use this sheet, because this is the fiscal year 1819 amount, and you could maybe retain that and compare the new. I know it's difficult for them to fit on another row, and so maybe we could. I'll see if we can maybe do a budget document that just shows the two totals for the two fiscal years, so you can compare. Mm-hmm.
Any other comments or questions? No? Okay. So we will move on to the discussion item, which is the development of a mission statement and a logo. And so in our August meeting, we were brought a number of different examples from around the state and I think some outside on the East Coast as well, related to large and small mission statements, and I don't know if we have anything to project here at this meeting, but we decided to come back with some suggestions, or at least some words that we thought needed to be within them. And then I think we can have a discussion about whether it's our job to craft this, or if we're opening it up for the community. So I'd love to have that discussion. Commissioner Moore.
So I apologize for not being here last time. I did watch the videos, and the conversation was really interesting. Some of the things
Meredith, we'll need to get you out more often.
So when thinking about the statement, there are a couple things that I would just like to bring up. I mean, I think that what you did last time in terms of looking at samples was a great place to start, but there's a couple of things that I would urge us to consider. One is, one of the things that you had mentioned in the discussion is that a lot of the examples that you saw seemed a little generic. And part of that is because they were describing a library instead, you know, a library and concept instead of a specific library. So I would love to hear from Allison, what specific things about the Goleta Library you think are special and different than other libraries? And I've been thinking about that. I have a couple of ideas. So there's that. And I forget what my next point was.
Okay. Thanks for those comments. I appreciate that. Are there other comments? I appreciate that. I mean, I think one of the words that many of us kept coming back to was community. Really, we want this to be our community library, not just libraries in concept, you know, libraries, you know, from the beginning of time, but something that relates back and reflects back to what we'd like to see. And so I appreciate that point. Any other comments or thoughts?
Well, I'd like to echo Allison. What do you think?
Right. Before we get, maybe we can kind of gather our thoughts and then she can ask a whole bunch of questions.
Well, I mean, I have a word salad, you know.
Right. Okay. So, yeah. Okay. So if we don't have anything else, then yes, go ahead, Director Gray, and talk about what makes the Goleta Library special.
What do I think makes the Goleta Library special? I do think it's a community center. We're known sort of unofficially as the family-friendly library. It's our family programming, which includes children and adults. The amount of programs that we're developing for adults as well, I think, makes us different. And the fact that we're trying to address not just, you know, book reading, learning, but recreation needs for the community and cultural needs. We're trying to be culturally sensitive and provide programming that reflects our community. So hence we're doing, you know, bilingual story times, and we celebrated Dia de los Dia de los Libros. So there's a lot of Dias. So it's hard to get that all into one, maximum two sentences. I think perhaps that's where why the mission statements tend to be fairly generic, and then maybe in their vision statements they elaborate a little bit more. But I really am curious to find out from you what you think, and then what I plan on doing is taking the words that float to the top in this soup and crafting two or three possible statements for you to look at the November meeting.
Commissioner Goodman.
So I'm sort of holding a number of questions as we embark on this, and I don't have the answers for myself. They are genuinely questions. And one is just the question of community center and what is the role of a library vis-a-vis being a community center? How does it intersect with the Goleta Community Center? What are the other centers in the community? How does the library define its role in collaboration with other organizations, in partnership, or does it stand alone? And I think some of that maybe should be answered or would be directed by the right mission vision. And some of the other questions I've been holding since coming on to this commission has really been around what outcomes are we driving toward? And we report on how many people come into the library, but also on outreach. Is it both? Are we more interested in one? As I think about where we want to go with this, and we have all these great words, family friendly and building community and equity and diversity and lifelong learning. And the questions I have are sort of around the how part of that and what specifically, what drives the choices that we make or that you make in terms of your strategic use of your time and your staff's time and resources. So I don't have any answers, but those are sort of the thoughts that are in my head as we go through this process. And some things I think would be valuable to answer, and maybe you have the answers to all of those.
Do you want to go ahead? Go ahead.
So during this calendar year, we've been conducting the Harwood conversations, and we've discussed that previously. But we're kind of in an information gathering period ourselves, and we're asking the community what is most important to them about the library and what they want to see that we're not doing, what they're happy with, all of that. So we are in the process of gathering those data so that we can write a strategic plan going forward. We do not have a library strategic plan at this point. So that is one of the things that we are working toward, and I will probably be presenting that report to you sometime in the early spring, most likely. We're continuing to collect data through November, so it will take a while to collate all of that and figure out our report. So in terms of a strategic plan, we will have one, but we don't have one right now. So, and in terms of outcomes or statistics, we have to fill out a state California library report at this time of year. And they are very much statistic driven. We have to keep count of all of our programs. And so that's why I report on those things. We have to report on how many materials we send out to other libraries versus bringing in. We have to report on what we spend for downloadable services, what we spend on print materials, all of that. So we do have to be very statistics driven because of the reporting that we have to do for the state that ties directly in with whether we get grants or not from the state, which we have. So we need to continue doing that. But the outcome discussion is certainly very prevalent in the library world, and I certainly consider that whenever I write a grant. I'm very interested in sort of formulating the outcomes that we're looking for. So that's something, again, that will be part of the strategic plan. In terms of collaboration, yes, we collaborate with a very large group of organizations, and it's growing all of the time. So collaboration is very important to us, and we want to do more of it. I want to do more outreach. Now that I have my new management assistant, Janet Ling, here, I'll have more time to do things like that. So we're very interested in going out into the community and really showcasing the library. We had a booth at the Lemon Festival. We did library card registrations and handed out information about the library programs that were coming up in October, information about our particular Spanish sort of focused services, and we gave toys away to the kids. So we're always looking for opportunities for collaboration, and particularly with the grants that I write, you know, formalizing that relationship. But we have entered MOUs with a number of organizations. I'm not sure if
were you at all the back to school nights?
No, we were not.
Okay.
They all happened on the same day. Mm-hmm. So the children's librarian was at one and I was at another. She did go to another one on another date, but we tried to cover as many as we could.
Okay.
So in line with the other questions that you got, this is anecdotal, but when you seek a collaborator or when someone comes to you, how do you assess that? I mean, what maybe that would help us fashion this, at least anecdotally. Why do you pick one partner and maybe not pick another partner? What's the goal of a collaboration for the constituents, for your finances, for whatever it is? Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. The challenge and joy of being a public library is that you want to serve everyone in your zone. So we have the challenge of being family friendly, so a great many children's programs are expected of us, but we also want to serve the seniors in the community. We want to serve the Spanish speakers. We want to serve other language speakers. And so when it comes to collaborations, I assess whether they'll be able to help us serve that large population. It's hard to target services because we do serve everyone. So when I write grants, certainly I try to work with partners that will help us achieve the grant goals. But in general, we are happy to work with all kinds of organizations. We were just approached by the Santa Barbara County Arts Organization. They've had those tiny libraries on State mm-hmm. Street. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to have one in front of Goleta Library, and we're talking about having this certain space in front of the library as an ongoing art installation site. So we were very excited to partner with them. So it's just sort of an as each partnership comes up, you know, we figure out whether it helps us address the needs of our community, which are very wide ranging.
And it sounds like, I mean, again, you're in the information.
You did from the larger library. Now you have to.
on. Usually I can project anyway. But certainly you've gone through, you know, an establishment of your own library system. You're in the data gathering stage right now, and it sounds like, you know, you're trying to find a rudder to move forward. But you do need to be informed, I think, by good information. And so I would presume that after you have all the Harvard conversations, you're going to do a data gaps analysis and figure out if there's other information that you need to be sifting through, and you know, holes that you need to fill, and then, you know, collating all of that and coming up with some points to focus on. As it relates to mission and vision, I mean, I sort of feel I'm not married to either one or the other necessarily. There's perhaps, you know, value and utility to both of them. I wonder if we're getting ahead of ourselves in defining the mission and vision without the data, you know, without that really fundamental data. Go ahead, Commissioner.
We may or we may not. I'm not actually. I think we might be able to. There's a difference between, because the mission is who you are,
right,
who you serve, whereas the vision is what you want to become.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that the vision might be something that we could definitely use the Harvard conversations and other data analyses to inform that. But I think that the mission should be. We probably have enough information at this point between you and your staff and kind of the conversations that you've already had. I don't know that for sure, but that's my guess. And the two things that I wanted to say that I think are distinguishing features and or things that I have been surprised about being part of this commission is, one is how responsive you are to the needs of the community. You didn't have to do these Harvard conversations. You decided that that was something that you wanted to do. I had no idea that how much of an effort you put into your maintaining your collections and weeding out things that aren't being taken and then making sure you get some of the high demand materials in. My guess is most of the library's patrons don't know that. And, you know, offering the, you know, the family-friendly programming and the ESL programming, that's because it's driven by community needs. So I think that's a very important part of who you are as a library. I also have been maybe surprised about how your reach, how far your reach goes outside of the four, you know, the walls of the library. It's not that you have to be in that place, and it's not even just the electronic resources that you have, but with all of the outreach that you do and programming that you do outside of those walls, again, that to me is surprising and special. So I would encourage us to think about that as well when we're developing a mission statement.
I also think that it doesn't have to be a static mission statement. It can be certainly updated as things evolve. There probably is enough information to do a decent mission statement. I agree with you there. I just not sure. I'm 100% confident that, you know, once that's laid to bed, then it might squelch some further thought or concept. So anyhow, any other thoughts or comments, Commissioner Freeman?
So
you turned it off, I think.
I turned the microphone on. I turned the little light on. Yeah. I did that wrong at the very beginning of the meeting, but I figured it out finally. So I guess maybe I'm a little bit confused because I'm both on the topic of the looking for data and statistics and potentially even waiting for it, but also earlier on the topic of asking like what currently is the library differentiating or being better at. I'm wondering the extent to which, like, when I think of both a mission and a vision statement, it doesn't feel very descriptive to me. It feels more aspirational. It's, for example, if the mission statement of the library were to specifically be to make the community read, and it turns out that the things that are currently differentiating us on community centers and all sorts of things are not helping that mission, then we might start deprioritizing things that we're currently better at. And if the statistics show that the things that we are currently excelling at in the system are not actually satisfying that mission, we might want to make changes there as well. And so I guess I would have thought that the goal of the mission vision for the library would be something that would be almost irrespective of any information that is being able to be provided to us on the current status or setup of the library, and be more about where we would like to see the library going. And I think that also, though, ends up leading to the somewhat vague mission statements that are, from other libraries about the goals of libraries and the interest in just abstract learning. But I provide some of that comment in the last meeting, though, and the idea that, like, I was okay with it, but...
Yeah, I understand. I mean, there's a lot of sort of, you know, amorphousness, laundry list stuff in there. But I think it's precisely because this might not be the community center, but it is a community center. And, you know, our communities are large and we all, you know, function in different ways in our lives. But it certainly provides one center of the community and does serve everybody. You know, I appreciate the family-friendly aspect, the multi-generational aspect, whether or not it's lifelong learning or a safe place to be. I think, you know, the library meets those needs. And so I think it's important to, you know, recognize that in that mission and then perhaps be a little bit more, you know, directed and targeted in programming through a vision statement that evolves on an ongoing basis. Commissioner Goodman, did you have a thought?
Yeah, I'm still, like, the whole community center thing is, like, both very exciting to me and challenging for me. And I was thinking, as you were both talking, that you talked about reading and literacy, and it may be that the goal is literacy through being a center of community, that the community center is the vehicle. Or it could be that being a center for community is the end goal, and the books and materials are the through goal. And I'm not being super articulate, but I see those... I see that distinction as maybe what we should be doing here. It's really like, are we driving toward a lifelong love of learning? And we believe that building a center for community and being accessible and welcoming to all of our community members is the avenue toward lifelong learning? Or is our goal to be the community center and our avenue through it is books and things that people borrow? I think it's the flip side. I think it's the first one I said, but maybe you feel differently.
Yeah, what are you saying? I mean, again, I just don't see it as being a... I mean, to me, our communities are wide and can be geographically disparate. And so one center, I just don't... There's no community square anymore, you know. There are plenty of places for people to gather and congregate. So this is one in many places.
Yeah, like a community.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's...
That's one word thing that I would...
Right. Or a center for the community, right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, we can wordsmith it, but I don't see it as being like the core anchor, you know, because there's a lot of different anchors for different purposes. Yeah. Commissioner Peck.
I agree with Lori's first point. You know, that, I mean, you could be an individual that has no desire to be in a community and still find the library very, very valuable.
Still find the library very, very valuable as a place to do homework, a place where I have my own room, you know, that you have a computer, you know. Other people would want to bring their kids there every 10 minutes, you know. So I like the idea of the, you know, of the community being the expression of the literacy rather than vice versa. That's just... For me, that was your first model. But I think community is very important. I think, as Meredith was saying, you do some very, and I'm glad you got a shout out, you do some very good things in terms of being a community node, if you will. But it is an A, of course. You know.
Yeah. Commissioner Freeman?
I just want to clarify, just in case, I don't think I did, but just in case I caused any kind of conversation. When I used the community center as an example of, like, oh, well, if our mission was X, then maybe we would deprioritize that. I was just using that as an arbitrary example. I could have said if our mission was to increase chocolate consumption in the community, then maybe we'd be decreasing community centers, something like that. I like all the things that the library is currently doing. I would be actually very fascinated by mission statements that were something like, attempt to share resources in order to use the city's resources or use the community's resources in a way that allows us to share the cost burden of particular aspects of living in a capitalist society that includes intellectual property in the form of copyright, right? And so the idea that, because in some sense, a lot of the commonality of, to me, what a lot of the library is doing is it's taking things like, oh, well, it'd be nice if we could all share a room. Okay, well, let's buy one room together and then we can all use that room together. It'd be nice if we could all have a VR headset, but we don't all need it continually. So if we could buy one and share it in the community, same thing for books. And trying to figure out some aspect of like looking at the an extreme abstraction on that regard, because I like the idea of being able to say that, yeah, we're a community center because we are sharing the cost of maintaining building facilities. So,
Commissioner Peck.
Well, two things. One, I mean, there is this whole thing about a library as being a third place, so it's definitely in the lexicon. You know, without the C word, I guess, capitalism, I do like the idea that a library can reduce the burden of sharing the cost of knowledge. And I haven't seen that. It's actually a very interesting point. I haven't seen that in any of the other statements, and yet it's quite accurate. You know, I mean, you expanded with your textbook access. Textbooks are phenomenally expensive. And not everyone can order, even with Amazon, you know, bestsellers, $20. Whatever it is, a kid needs a book on, for homework. You know, whatever that is, or magazine subscriptions, it's my business, but some keep buying them. But these things have a cost. And I think the idea that cost can be shared, amortized, reduced, made accessible is an important idea. I hadn't thought about that. Thank you. No.
Well, I think these are public resources, though, and public assets, and that's what we have in public spaces. So, perhaps, I mean, to me, it's sort of self-evident, I suppose, and maybe it would be good to raise it a little bit more, but this is a public library serving the public that we all pay taxes for. And so that is sort of, you know, the nascent idea is to share this, you know, with one another.
With a purpose to the person, to the consumer, the customer, whatever you want.
The resident, the civilian. I mean, not everybody's a consumer or wants to be viewed as a consumer, you know.
Well, citizens are a bad word these days, so I don't want to use that.
Well, true. Well, residents are right. People who live here. Yes, Commissioner Moore.
Okay. I actually wrote something out as just kind of like a straw man, and then I've been revising it in terms of what everyone has said. I have not been able to get into the family-friendly part, but I'll just read it out loud and I'll send it to you afterwards. Yes. Okay. The Goleta Valley Library is a community center that serves our diverse community by leveraging public assets to support the joy of lifelong learning, civil engagement, and the respectful exchange of ideas and information, both within the physical walls of the library and far beyond.
I like that.
Okay.
I will email it to you.
Done.
go ahead.
One story that I often tell to illustrate, and it really illustrated for me the importance of the library as a community center, happened when I was in New York when 9/11 happened. And I noticed that day that many individual people, largely seniors, were just sort of wandering into the library looking really lost and sad. And their impulse was to come to the library and be with other people. So we just really quickly plugged in our TV, put the news on, put up chairs in our meeting room, and just put a sign outside saying, you know, continuing coverage of the disaster. Mm-hmm. We ended up with almost 100 people. You know, at one point, the largest group was about 100, but all day that room was full of people who maybe lived alone, didn't have anyone to talk to, and some deep inclination in them directed them to the public library as a place where they could find solace and community. And that day, I sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
That day, I really understood how important a public library can be, and I felt so honored to be there and be able to help these people find what they were so desperately looking for on that day. So there are aspects of being a community center. You know, we are a place where sometimes people who, say, live alone, they don't have the opportunity to talk to anyone during the day. So they'll come into the library each day because they know that our staff is welcoming and friendly, and they have someone to talk to, and it fills a really important need for them. So that's why I think community is really critical word to have in that statement, because we do serve as more than just a programming hub and a materials hub. But in a lot of people's minds, the library is a place to come and find that sense of community. And I think that is something that the Goleta Valley Library really excels at.
I agree. Thank you for sharing that story. I agree, because I feel a sense of peace and sanctuary when I'm in a library. It's quiet, it's safe, and there are plenty of places that aren't like that. And I don't know if anyone's done reading on homeless populations, but many libraries have actually started to employ social workers because of, populations that really need to be served and need to feel safe. I'm not suggesting we add that to our budget. We're just getting off our feet here, but you know, to your point, you can go and sit and be in peace. You don't need to go to a coffee shop and get a coffee, right? You're not driven by consuming anything other than knowledge. And so I think that's very rare and special. So you have a great statement. Do we also have maybe some other words that we'd like to include, and then if you're so inclined, you can come and bring some back to us.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, she'd read out it. Chairwoman.
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 But I think that you should read it because you have the radio voice. But okay. The Goleta Valley Library is a community center that serves our diverse community by leveraging public assets to support the joy of lifelong learning, civil engagement, and the respectful exchange of ideas and information, both within the physical walls of the library and far beyond.
Well, I mean, again, there's a lot to like in there. Again, we don't want to burden this with barnacles, but something that about, I wouldn't use these words, but on multiple platforms, or maybe something that that they can access information is longer than you want to write. Access information on whatever platform is most convenient to them.
Yeah, I also think that adding in the family-friendly part, because what you said really spoke to me. You said, we are known as the family-friendly library. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could almost stop there. I think that says a lot. People recognize that we serve families. I mean, I think that's a very powerful statement. But I couldn't figure out how to include it in what I already had.
So were there any other, from your word soup, were there any other words or concepts?
It really is just a word salad: personal, educational, professional,
cultural needs, all ages and cultures, platforms of convenience, support connect the community and the community members, support curiosity, support learning and being welcome. Then on the other side, some of the things that we're talking about, you were talking about the center idea, collaboration, and again, your comment about sharing the cost of knowledge, which you have leveraging the assets, which is fine. But just a couple there.
Commissioner Freeman, anything you want to add? Commissioner Merck or Commissioner Goodwin, we'll go down this way.
Sure. So I don't have it memorized yet. I liked it. I'm thinking if we don't have it, something about equity and access along with the family engagement, because when I hear you speak and really the discussion, It's about making these great resources accessible to everyone, and that really leads into the both the community outreach and Within the Walls. I love that you have both of those in there. So those are words that I'm thinking. And then the other thing, and I don't know that it needs to be in there, is do we need a boundary, meaning should it say the Goleta Valley? Or I guess it says the Goleta Valley Public Library, but serves the Goleta Valley or serves some sort of, you know, is there anything we don't do within the scope?
But we've been receiving reports that we serve folks from Santa Barbara, too, right? We have all of these. So I think we don't want to put a geographic stamp on it. We just want to, I mean, other than the name of the library.
Which is fine. Right? It's really some, I find rhetorical questions are good to, like, push against and see yes, no. And I think you're right. We don't want to draw a boundary of who's in and who's out.
Go ahead, Commissioner Murr.
And so my question now is about process. And so
I have some questions. I have some things too. I was letting everybody else.
Oh, sorry.
Just because that's my role thing.
I'll talk about process later.
Yeah, yeah. So I just I wanted to share that I do appreciate lifelong learning, but I'd like multi-generational, which has a different implication of people of different generations interacting, which is something that is rather rare today in these places that we have. I know that you spoke about recreational needs, so we've got a lot of words here. And I do think, you know, welcoming and safe, if you can fit that in somewhere. I do think that safe is important. And now we can talk about process.
I don't know what the process is. So you've been getting a lot of feedback from this committee last time and then this time. And what do you think your process is? Are you going to be going back to your staff members and get their impressions too? Or are you then going to come back to us with a couple things that we then vote on? How do you think this is ultimately going to be resolved?
I do plan on bringing you two or three possible mission statements at the next meeting to discuss. And so I will base that on the discussion we've had tonight, and then create a couple of statements that hopefully, I mean, I think yours is perfect as it is, but include some of the other things as well. I'll do my best. And then at the November meeting, you can make a recommendation on one that you like the best, or we can wordsmith it further to create a statement that you feel comfortable with. And then eventually that will go to the city council, most likely.
So then I have a question. So I presume you're going to be reflecting back on some of the Harvard conversations as well as you're putting these together. And I think it was you, Commissioner Goodman, that raised having the community even weigh in. I mean, would it be helpful to have three statements and then ask the folks at the Goleta Valley Community Library, give them a month's time to, you know, put some, you know, get them involved in the mission statement discussion and choose their favorite one, bring it back, and then that can help form maybe some of the things that we put in the vision.
I think in terms of doing public surveys, it would be best if perhaps at the next meeting I give you two or three examples. You select maybe your top two, and then we could open those up through social media for public input. But I think giving them more than two options makes it too complicated.
Okay.
You could still have a space for other comments if they have any.
Yeah, or their own suggestion or whatever. Right. Okay. Does that sound like an okay process? Are people...
I'm with Meredith. I'd just like to have some motion, you know, and I'm sure you would too, Allison. You know, I'd also suggest, Meredith, that you send that statement to Allison so she, you know, even though this is recorded, that you have it.
Unfortunately, I am going to, well, fortunately for me, but I am going to Fiji on Thursday and I won't be back until the 3rd, and our meeting is on the 4th. So I just want to alert you ahead of time. I'm not going to be able to spend a whole lot of time on this in the next 2 days. So I will do my best, but we may need to do additional wordsmithing at the November meeting.
But I think that's fine. So at this time, we're just going to do the mission statement, and we'll talk about vision at a later point in time. Okay. Okay, so future agenda items. Obviously, this item will come back to us. The 2020 budget will come back to us. In whatever form, and if we need to do a landscape or however we need to fit it in, it just would be helpful to have it, I think, all on one page so it's easier for us to read. Are there any other items that we'd like to request for a future agenda? Commissioner Freeman.
I was requesting, but it sounds like it'll already happen, something about going fineless.
That definitely will not be at the November meeting, but it will be at an upcoming meeting.
Sometime in 2020, early 2020. Okay. Any other items, board items, that anybody want to report anything out? No? Okay. Well, I will adjourn the meeting. Thank you all.
I took one look at you, that's all I meant to do.